Mage Hand High Five. I'm your Dungeon Master, Casey Pappas, and with me, ranked from least to most likely to be superstitious about their die.
Ooh, okay.
Max Weinberg.
Hello, I'm Max Weinberg. I knew this one was coming, and I'm a little superstitious, I guess. I'm playing Stump Steenling. I always put my D20s with the 20 side up when we're playing.
Okay.
Robin Langenhop.
Hey there, I'm Robin Langenhop playing Hayden Kincaid. All of my sixes are on sixes, and all of my D20s are on 19s, because I'm really weird about it.
Oh,
maybe you should have been last.
No, Rowan gives their salt baths or something.
And Rowan McStay.
Hi, my name is Rowan McStay, playing Salome Briar. And I am a little superstitious about a lot of things. Usually I just trust them to tell a good story. I don't trust them to roll well for me. But I trust them to tell a good story. I do sometimes put them out so they can catch a little sunlight before a session. If I feel like I've been rolling like dog shit, I'll put them out every once in a while on the windowsill.
I'm still back on Max's suggestion that you just like drop in a bath bomb and a bunch of loose dice and just give them a nice little spa day.
I just meant like a big mug.
No, full tub. Wasting so much water.
I will say, I feel like I do have to use dice that correspond to the character. Like, I have specific dice that I use for Salome, and I feel weird using other dice. So I won't, like, switch out my dice if they're rolling bad. I'll ride it out.
That's weirdo. Fair. I do a very similar thing. I have, like, very specific sets of die. Like, for this campaign, I'm using my Borderlands cel-shaded dice.
Oh, cool. Ooh. I like those.
Is it bad that I feel like my dice are too nice to me, and so I need different dice?
You should spank them.
Oh my god.
And on, whoa. On that note,
who's least likely to spank their dice? You've been too good.
Be bad. Be very bad.
Let's dive right in.
Please save us, Casey.
Last time on Mage Hand High
you're
Five.
You're gonna be a bad dice.
No. You fucking children. Last time on Mage Hand High Five, Hayden and Shorna fought in the storm. Realizing they were outmatched in a duel with a werebear, Hayden used a rope trick to exit the battle. They also discovered the hard way that the dancing dagger was a dancing dud. Stump reads Shorna's journal and realizes her mission. He and Salome recruit Brinley for the fight, but Belinda is unmoved. The trio rush out and find an unnaturally mangled body. Obviously not Shorna's work. Salome and Stump find Hayden's rope trick, but are ambushed by Shorna. As the quartet begins to fight Shorna, the aberration that Hayden had previously sensed appears. A horrible mass of flesh and body parts, roughly resembling a huge humanoid, it attacks the group. You convince Shorna to help fight it off, and during the brutal battle, the beast downs both her and Brinley and attempts to feast on their souls. Salome summons V, and Stump kills the beast with a well-placed arrow. Stump warns Shorna against ever harming his family and lets her live. Where we pick up now, V has just appeared, though, as always, only to you, Salome. You feel a hand on your shoulder, and V says, "What the hell just happened?"
"Well, hi there, V. Kind of you to show up."
They sort of move up next to you and now seem to survey the body of the aberration as well.
"I got no idea. That's why I called you. I'm sorry to call you so soon after we spoke last time, but you said to call if I really needed you, and this seems a little out of our league."
Salome, as you're talking to V, the world sort of grays around you, turns to shades of monochrome, and wisps appear in the body of the aberration. V kneels and begins quickly taking the wisps from the aberration's body and putting them in their knapsack.
I think as they go to collect these souls, she kind of kneels beside them and says, "Anything I can do to help?"
"Tend to a lookout. This is more souls than I normally have to gather."
"You got it. I ain't half the healer my mama was, but I can fight."
As you say that, you hear it.
Oh, shit.
You look up and see skittering around the corner of a house is your brain struggles to comprehend. It's hard to make out its form. It seems wreathed in black fog. Limbs sort of jut out, and it scrambles towards this feast of souls. You see little yellow eyes glimmer and rows of teeth, sharpened and hungry for the feast at hand. But before they can get close, a gunshot rings out. It vanishes in a puff of smoke, and you look and see V's arm extended, their six gun in hand.
I think Salome sort of puts away the sword that she had just gotten out. Well, it seems like you got it handled yourself.
V holsters their weapon and says, "Keep watch," and continues to put more and more wisps into their knapsack.
What does this look like to the rest of us?
Hayden and Stump, you look, and Salome is standing over the body of the aberration, unmoving.
Salome, you know, I love meditation. I'm sure it's very helpful, but I'm still kind of dangling here. Could we save that for another time? I'm pretty high up here.
Salome, you don't hear anything from the mortal plane. Hayden, you are calling out to Salome from about 30 feet above her. Stump, you see Hayden up in the air calling out to Salome. You see Salome motionless, unmoving, as if she is not registering what's going on around you.
Stump, Salome seems to be out of commission. I'd love to help her, but I cannot do that from up here. Can you lend a hand?
Stump doesn't say anything, but takes out a rope from his bag and uses a mage hand to float it up to Hayden.
Cute.
You see a spectral hand grab the end of the rope, cinch it off in a very masterful one-handed tie.
Lovely.
And Hayden, you slide down the rope.
I immediately go to Salome. I don't want to shake her or anything, but is there any sense of, like, can I make a roll to figure out what's going on with her?
Yeah, I guess you could roll a religion check.
Ooh, all right.
Fine.
Can I do that too?
I'm gonna be the first one of those.
Sure. I think this is the first religion check.
Stump is a pious man.
Is he now?
It's an 18.
Oh, 18. Nice.
Wow.
Hayden only got a 7.
Hayden, to your eyes, Salome seems out of it. She's breathing. She seems normal, but her eyes have rolled into the back of her head. Her eyelids flutter. You don't know what's going on with your friend. Stump, you look and see that something powerful is happening. Salome is here, but she's not here. And she is probably better equipped to handle threats there than here.
I think this has to do with the whole, like, death thing she mentioned earlier, but I think she's okay.
All right, I guess we should keep an eye on her. We probably shouldn't move her while she's in this condition.
It's probably smart.
One second, I've got a little thing that I dropped on the ground, and I hope I didn't kill it. I don't even know if it can die. Can I find my coin? My coin, yeah. Dagger, whatever it is?
You start searching for it, and you hear it.
Oh! Oh my goodness.
It's a little guy.
I thought maybe you could fly. I don't know how this works. Y'all right? Little buddy?
You go over to it and see, like, a place in the mud where it just... something fell and just sank into it. There's just a little round sort of cylindrical hole where this coin fell.
Oh, buddy.
The creature is a little too small to get itself out. So you reach in, you pick it up, and you see a coin. On the back is the sigil of Threed. On the front is a face. And you know it to be the first ever Prime Minister of Threed. And as you're looking at the face of this man who died hundreds of years ago, you see his tongue flicker out.
Oh!
He opens his mouth and rows of sharp teeth appear, and he sort of looks over at you, and he goes...
Oh, do I know what this is?
Roll a nature check.
All right. That's a 4.
That's a 4. You don't know what this is.
Out of curiosity, is this a copper or a gold? What?
It is a gold piece.
Oh.
But it seems willing to change its shape.
Hey, little friend, are you injured? Do you need a little help there?
You see the eyes of the Prime Minister sort of blink, and then a couple more appear on his forehead.
Oh.
The sides of the coin bend in and change. It sort of elongates, and now it's a dagger in your hand, and its tongue emerges from the hilt.
Oh, ooh. All right, so we might need to have a discussion about where your tongue comes from in different forms, just that I can be just emotionally prepared.
You check it over, though. It doesn't seem grievously injured, as if being a coin helped survive its fall.
Oh, well, that's good, at least. We got to figure out how to communicate with each other, little buddy, so that I can know what you're capable of, and you can tell me when you like or don't like things, like getting dropped from high distances.
To that, it sort of frowns and goes,
yes, I got the sense of that one. Sorry. I will, like, gesture toward one of my pockets and go, like, how does this one feel to you? Does this one look comfy?
You see, like, 5 eyes appear along its hilt. It sort of looks down at the pocket. You see the edges of its hilt sort of shrug, and then it pops into your pocket.
Oh, yep. All right. We can get you a little special one later on. I know this lovely tailor.
The little tongue twists into a shape roughly resembling a thumbs up.
Oh, my goodness. Stump, I got a little something. I don't know what it is, but it's adorable.
That's nice.
Oof. Christ.
Can I do a vibe check on Stump?
Go for it.
Yeah, Stump, you good?
No.
That's a 16.
What does Hayden see?
I mean, Stump is mad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, you, I think in the last conversation, promised him that it would be okay. And you went and almost got yourself killed. So as Stump just kind of, as you come back, and Stump is just kind of looking forward at in the general direction of Salome, he says, so you think you're, you know, a big guy? You think you can handle everything that comes at you?
Oh, so we're having this conversation now, are we?
I've seen plenty of people do what you just did and not come back. If we hadn't shown up, you might not have come back.
I mean, I'm here now, aren't I?
What happens if we're not here?
Well, I made it this far with that. And I think you see for probably the first time in your relationship with Hayden, Hayden struggles to find words.
I don't really think Stump cares what Hayden thinks or feels right now.
Ooh.
Hayden, we're in this together at this point. I know you and I both have these kind of solo, we can do everything attitudes. But at this point, we have to stay together unless we can't. You ran off into a torrential downpour in a place that you don't know, into some unknown creature. I'm not even talking about Shorna. Like, if you ran into that by yourself, what the hell do you think's gonna happen? None of us are invincible.
What, and scolding me? Was that gonna help us in some way?
No, you just gotta use your brain next time. We're there. Use us. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
You know, I don't even know how to talk to you when you're like this. I mean, if you want to have a you know what? Fine. And Hayden pulls the note that they were writing during the fight out of their pocket and just shoves it into Stump's hand and then says, I'm going to patrol, make sure there's nothing around here that could creep up on our friend Salome while she is genuinely vulnerable. Y'all have fun. And they just storm off to check alleyways and streets, not leaving the general area, but they're just, like, doing anything other than standing there and getting berated.
You walk off. There's a moment where, as you turn the alley, you see the beast's severed hand crawling its way through the mud, attempting to return to Blackthorn Bog. You take one of your blades and bring it down in the hand, destroying it in one go. Stump, you are left with Hayden's message. Do you read it?
Yeah, think so.
Robin, what does the note say?
They didn't get much time to write before the battle started to shift and everyone else came along. But I think it just says, very hurriedly, stained maybe by the rain, maybe by something else, it says, guess my luck finally ran out on this one. I'm sorry.
It's unfolds it up and puts it in his pocket.
With that, let's cut back to Salome. In the corner of your eye, you see Hayden's soul sort of descending. V is gathering souls quickly.
Have you ever seen anything like this before? A bunch of wisps separated from their bodies.
Without looking up, they say, no.
Well, shit.
They sort of sigh for a second and they stop gathering and they say, phantoms lurk in the in-between. They're attracted to the scent of wisps, but they can't affect the flesh that surrounds the wisp.
So you don't know what that thing was?
They sort of gesture and they say, this disrupts the balance. It's a perversion of nature. Ripping the soul from the flesh before its time.
Have you gathered any souls from Blackthorn Hollow in the last 6 months or so?
They look at you and they say, no.
Okay. That's troubling. It seems like something else might be.
They sort of sit back and they say, I don't know where this came from, but I'm sure there's more.
Yeah, I mean, my answer deeper into the bog, I think that might be what's something like what they're dealing with. I don't know how to deal with this. It sounds like you don't either.
Beth's sisters, they're in Blackthorn Hollow.
I haven't heard from them in 6 months. Nobody has. That's why we're here. That's why we're going in. That's why we've found this thing.
They holster their six gun. They, having finished collecting the souls in the beast, return to their normal height. They're tall. They're very tall. They say, I must transport these.
I understand.
If you need me in Blackthorn Hollow, for whatever lurks in there.
And they point to the body and they say, I cannot help you beyond a certain point. Like the phantoms, I cannot remove a soul before its time.
But I will be there to help you collect them when it is time.
Okay, I mean, and hey, maybe there won't be too many souls to collect. Maybe people are okay. Maybe they've been holding on. Maybe we can find a way to get them back to their bodies or something. I mean, maybe there's something we can do before we need you to come back.
They don't say anything.
But I will call you if I need you. Real quick, before you go, I don't want to hold you up, but I just want to say I am sorry for snapping at you last time we spoke. It was kind of overwhelming. I mean, you were... seeing you was everything I ever needed. Just 10 years too late to make a difference. So thank you for trying to help, and I understand that you couldn't.
They place a hand on your shoulder, and they say,
in my experience, this side of the river delivers not what we want, but what we need. You say 10 years too late, but I don't believe the river would say the same.
I can only hope you're right. I think I would really like to be able to help you one day, and I know I got a lot of work to do to get there, but I'd really like to help you like my mama did sometime. And, you know, in the meantime, if you ever find yourself just in need of a friend, I know you said you haven't talked to anybody in a while, let me know. I never knew about this side of my mama, so maybe you could tell me about her sometime.
It's impossible to see V's face. Veils, tassels, all shrouding their face. The only thing you can catch of what lies beneath are the two glowing, burning eyes that seem to pierce through all of the cover between you. It's impossible to tell when V smiles, but you see their eyes glitter. And they say, "Well, thank you." And they turn, and they begin to walk away, and as they do, it's strange, they lose focus for you. Everything else is sharp in your vision, but they cloud until they're just not.
Hmm.
Salome, you see now there is only one soul standing near you. And as the colors begin to fade back into the world around you, if Stump were saying anything, you would hear it.
Stump is not saying anything.
Stump, you're standing next to Salome when suddenly her eyes snap open.
Welcome back, kid.
Hi there. Did you see that?
No. You just kind of froze and stared off into space.
Yeah, my mama's friend, V, came back. I called them during the fight. This monster, this beast of Blackthorn Bog, whatever it was eating wisps, souls. It was trying to eat Shorna's. And V said that they had never seen anything like this before. And I just feel Stump on and in on everything that V had told me.
So are we thinking there might be, like, a nest of these things?
I don't know. I mean, I'm real scared of it. V said that they hadn't collected any souls from Blackthorn Hollow in the last 6 months. And that means that either everybody's in there hunky-dory having a nice time, or something got to those souls before V did.
I bet there's something like a nest here.
Do I hear this conversation going?
You are just around the corner, and you do hear a conversation happening. Like, you hear Salome's voice coming.
As soon as Hayden starts to come back, though, I think Salome clocks them and looks at Stump and goes,
"Oh, what the hell was Hayden thinking, though? We told them this would happen."
That's a very good question.
Did you talk to them?
Yeah. Didn't go well.
Okay, well, more flies with honey, I guess. I'll try talking some damn sense into them.
You're welcome to try.
Hayden starts walking up around that time.
This is big mom-dad energy.
Totally.
Will you talk to our child, or will I?
Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah, Hayden is stepping up too aggressively at this point, looks at Salome and goes, "Y'all right?"
"Well, hi there, darling. Ain't we a chipper bunch?" "Yeah, I'm fine."
"Good, let's go." And Hayden starts walking back to the inn.
As Hayden stalks off, Brinley pops up, clutching her head. She goes, "Ugh." And she sort of looks. She looks at the beast. She looks at y'all, and she says, "We get it?"
"Yeah, we got it. We got them both."
She sort of nods and says, "Okay." "Shit, Belinda. Fuck, I love Belinda." She gets to her feet, starts to run off, thinks about it, comes back, grabs the silver sword, and runs off.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Belinda is left in there by herself. Okay, well, we probably should get back.
I'll kind of stay back and let Hayden huff off and walk back with Stump.
You walk back. The body of the beast of Blackthorn Bog lays.
Oh, can we, like, burn that or something?
Yeah, can we do, like, a quick...
could I do a nature check or some sort of permanent burial?
Yeah, roll medicine.
Hey, 19.
Why'd that beat me? 18.
Hey.
Oh, you both see this creature. It is lifeless. Its limbs have stopped moving. Its flesh has stopped undulating. Horrible fingers grow along its spine. There's ripples of scales and flesh and fur.
Would we be able to insinuate at this point that it is an amalgamation of its victims?
For both of you, it's a little stomach churning. You remember the body that you saw in that trespassed house. You remember that part of it seemed pulled off. This is like when you pull a piece of dough and it stretches from your hands. This is a perversion of the flesh. And you wonder if once it pulled pieces from its victims, it consumed them.
Yeah, we should not bring this anywhere near other people, and I think we should probably just burn this body right here.
Salome takes out the note from her holy symbol and unrolls it, looks at it, And on it, in her mother's handwriting, is something between a song and a blessing. It's a song that people sing or say to loved ones as they're crossing the river. And it's also kind of a lullaby that parents will sing to their children in the Badlands to help them fall asleep. And sometimes parents take out the nod to death in the lullaby version, but Salome's mom never did. And I think as Stump goes to burn the body of the beast along with, you know, whatever remains of its victims, Salome reads out this blessing, thinking of the last time she read it over her own mother as she crossed the river, and just says, "However wide the river, however fast it flows, my love will cross to find you where the river goes. And if in death should guide you to banks that no one knows, you'll cross with me beside you where the river goes."
You burn this thing that should not be. The smell is horrible. As it begins to disappear under the flame, you say these words. Stump, you watch the flames dance. Whatever souls this thing had are gone now. Whatever semblance of people is left is no more. And you both look and see an empty town, its inhabitants now truly gone. Hayden, you are returning to the Boggling Brew alone.
I think after a few minutes, Hayden realizes that no one followed them. They just stop in the middle of the road and have this extreme indecision of, do I go back to my friends or do I go back and sit alone in the tavern with my thoughts? By the time Salome and Stump actually make their way back towards the tavern, Hayden is just sitting in the middle of the street in the rain, watching this little guy as a coin flipping back and forth around Hayden's fingers and just crying.
Hayden, you look back, and as you're standing there, it is frustrating that Stump called you out on this shit. You feel your blood boiling a little bit. But you remember Winona doing the same thing. Hell, once Rat did the same thing. And that was a surprising day.
I'm gonna walk up and just kind of quietly sit down next to Hayden. Both of us so drenched from the rain, just so wet.
I mean, at this point, we are so soaked that, like, you can't become more wet than we just already are.
Sad and wet.
Yeah, I kind of sit there quietly with them for a second and then go, so you got yourself a little friend there, huh?
I tried to throw the dagger because they said it was going to be a dancing dagger that would help me in the fight. And then it just fell on the ground. And then I thought maybe it could be something that would help me. And I just dropped it from the rope.
Hayden, what the hell? Does it have five eyes?
I just want to be my friend. And I dropped
it. Hayden, what the hell is that thing?
It's just my best friend.
Okay. All right, it's a little spooky, but hi. Oh, look at it. It's kind of cute. Once you get over the initial shock of the extra body parts, it's kind of, look at him. Oh, he's a little coin.
I felt like I had gone a little too fast when I named the last pet, so I want to give this one a minute to tell me who they are before I pick a name. But
oh, honey, it's a little shapeshifter like you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's perfect. Oh, hi there, little buddy.
I'm not good at research, but maybe we should find out what it is in case it likes a particular food.
Yeah, Stump's probably good at research. Probably better than both of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. How you feeling?
I'm bad.
Yeah, clearly. Honey, we were real worried about you. What happened?
I went off because that's what I do. I have nothing, and then I find something, and then something catastrophic happens to it, or people run away, or they get killed off, and when I go off by myself, it tends to go better. And Then I became the stranger, and I didn't really like what all the stranger meant, but at least it was something. And going off by myself is what the stranger does, and I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I am if I'm not the stranger, and I don't know how good I am at being that. So I'm a little lost right now.
Yeah, that's a little heavy, darling. Come here. No. Come here, dear heart. I just kind of like open up my arms to them and just try to like hold them for this conversation if they want to be held.
I just realized something while I was hiding in my little trick. What happened to me never really mattered before. I don't know what it was about. Maybe it was just, you know, getting my hairs did and having somebody see me without any of the magic or any of the changes and still liking what they saw, that for the first time I was actually worried about what would happen to me and not just what would happen to somebody else.
Oh, dear heart. I wish I could show you. You know how I was telling you about wisps, those little soul fires?
Yeah.
You know you got one, right? You know when I see you in Stump, you know I see that when I look at you.
Is it scary?
No, darling, it's beautiful. Let me see. Hold on. And I think Salome, like, it's hard without V there, but I think Salome really tries to see Hayden's wisp. And I kind of put a hand over their chest and say, and it is a real beautiful shade of blue, like a light blue, like a robin's egg or the sky on a spring morning. And it is bright and it is beautiful and it lights up the whole damn room from right there. If I had to watch it go out, I genuinely don't know that I would be able to look at the sky the same way again. So at some point, I would like you to try to keep it lit for your own sake. But in the meantime, please try to keep it lit for mine.
I can work on that. Can you help me with something else?
Yeah, of course. What do you need?
Can you help me figure out gifts?
Oh.
Apparently bran muffins are not the way to go, and I feel like Stump deserves some kind of something.
Lord, honey, I gave Stump that bolo tie, and I don't think he liked it. No, I mean, I can try. We can try to get him something.
We should brainstorm.
Yeah, we should try and figure it out, because I don't think he liked the last one. You know how dads are kind of hard to buy for? I mean, I never really had a daddy. Like, I was
I
raised by my...
actually.
Mom. Yeah, I mean, we'll try to find something. Hey, we love you, Hayden. We want you to be okay.
Love you too. We should probably get out of the wet.
Yeah, come on, honey. Let's get you inside.
Stump, you have arrived at the Boglin Brew. You're walking in as you see Brinley sort of scurrying around with a sword. It looks like she's checking all the rooms. You see her, like, run past you and down into the basement. And you hear her muttering under the breath, oh, gee, I swear to God, I'm gonna, if I catch, I'm fucking...
You good kid?
She sort of, like, throws a hand over her shoulder as she, like, runs into the kitchen.
Okay.
Stump, it's a few minutes before Salome and Hayden join you. You see Brinley walking back up the steps. She seems pretty frustrated.
Brinley, what's going on, darling? Where's Belinda?
Sort of tosses a note down on the counter and then goes and opens a bottle of whiskey.
Oh, that's never a good sign.
And she says, we left Belinda here, all by ourselves, and I realized she might have helped herself to the contents of the safe downstairs.
Oh, hell, did she?
She says, no, everything was there, and that.
Yeah, I'll read the note. What's the note say?
You read the note. This note was found inside the locked safe, and it says, people change. And on the back, it says, P.S. I did help myself to the liquor cabinet, and the register. There are limits to change.
Well, I'll be damned.
She must have had a severe drop in popularity recently. I don't know why she would need to do something like this.
Brinley full on looks at you, Hayden, starts to say something, and then just takes a drink of her whiskey instead.
I think Salome just kind of folds up the note and just kind of keeps it.
You all check your rooms. All three of them are unlocked. Nothing seems changed. Except Salome. Do you keep a journal?
Yeah, I would say Salome keeps a journal. I think it's really tightly wrapped and wound in like super prickly, thorny roses and briars. Like, I think it's kind of hard to get into.
You see that the journal lays open on your desk. The vines have been removed. Small spatters of blood on the desk. And on the last page of the journal is a note. And it says, "Dear Salome, hate to run, but this town's blown. Speaking of, we now have each other at a disadvantage. Wanted women as we are. Dancing together on the edge of a knife. So, don't go spreading lies you saw me here, hmm? You still have my jade hairpin, which you'd be inclined to think as an excuse to see you again. But I have fond memories attached, so I will be taking that back soon. And maybe it's just me, but I hope you put up a fight."
Oh my!
And at last, a gift. A second one. Stolen from the cellar downstairs. And you look, and towards the back of the desk is a bottle of whiskey. It's for drinking, though, Girl Scout that you are, you'll probably just hand it back. Yours, in merit aside, B.
Oh, Lord. I think Salome is blushing reading this note, grabs the whiskey, takes a swig directly from the bottle, touches the hairpin in her hair, and just goes, "Come and get it." And keeps the bottle of whiskey.
Okay. Wow.
But I think she will go, like, she'll keep the bottle of whiskey, surreptitiously go to the bar and, like, drop a few gold at the bar to cover the cost of the whiskey.
You lay down the coins at the bar. Brinley sort of looks at him and looks at you and then just takes another swig. She's had a long day.
Yeah.
Do you all take your long rest?
I think we all turn in for the night. Yeah.
Yeah.
Turn in for the day.
Hayden is just so physically and emotionally exhausted that they just pass out. They're still very wounded from the fight.
I think Stump stays up a little bit and just kind of sits at the fire with a drink.
I think right before bed, I'll just say to Brinley, "If you lack, honey, I can help you bury your uncle tomorrow."
She seems a little out of it. Her eyes sort of glazed over. She sort of stares off. And she faintly nods and says, "I think I'm going to go to Twin River. There's just nothing left here."
Salome's hand kind of instinctively moves back to her holy symbol as she says, "You and your family made something really beautiful here. I'm sorry you have to grieve it like this."
She sighs and says, "Nothing lasts forever."
"Hopefully we'll be able to bring you some good news out of Blackthorn Hollow here soon."
You see her also sort of looking into the fire, but from behind the bar. She's sort of just gazing at the flames dancing. Stump, you're sitting in the armchair next to it, doing the same. And one at a time, each of you drifts off into your own night during the day. I would say you wake up the next morning, but you wake up later in the afternoon.
Did Stump ever make it to bed? Or did Stump fall asleep in front of the fire?
Oh, he's a dad. He's in that chair.
That's such a good character choice. You pass out in the chair next to the fire.
In the chair.
Your arms are crossed over your chest.
It probably helps that it's a full-size chair and he's about 3.5 feet tall.
you're basically horizontal.
Basically a bed.
Yeah. You're this, yeah, like, little baby dad, like, your arms covered over your chest, oh, your chin on your chest.
Mm-hmm. Just snoring all night.
He's gonna feel this when he wakes up. shit.
Hayden comes downstairs with no glamour.
Oh.
Clock Stump in his chair and just goes over and sits on the floor by the chair. He goes, "So, bran muffins are out. That's confirmed.
Not a fan of bolo ties. I don't know where you stand on hugs, so that's a question mark there. I could make you some bacon. I can handle bacon. I'm pretty good at not burning bacon.
Hey, kid. Just promise me you'll use your brain and use your resources. That's all you gotta do.
Okay, but I feel like I really made a horrible boo-boo and just... even the conversation part of dealing with the aftermath of my choices, and I feel like some sort of gesture would be good in this particular instance.
You did, but yeah. If you make me that promise, with the exception of a hug, you can make it up to me how you want.
So no hugs. We're not on the hugging level. Understood. Got it.
Yeah. No hugs.
What if we work our way up to hugs?
not a today thing.
All right. I'll file that away. Maybe one day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Salome comes downstairs and throws her arms around Hayden. Good morning, sunshine. Glad to see you alive.
Just strong side eye to Salome from Stump after a hug.
What, Stump? You want a hug too? You're ticklish. Come here. No.
Ooh, Stump, you read books. Do you know what this is? And Hayden pulls out the little friend.
You reach into your pocket and pull out a thing. It is mid transformation into something else.
Oh, like, I'm sorry. Were you changing? I can give you some privacy.
It was mid transformation into a coffee mug. Like there's a handle. There's like part of the side, and like it's five eyes sort of blink. And Stump, you see a critter. Roll an intelligence check.
Oh, little buddy, would you like some coffee in you? I also love coffee.
Hey, two cups. No more than two cups for you.
Yeah, that's a 19.
a 19. You've heard stories about these critters. They are native to different parts of the Badlands. Some are native to Threed. They are not very common because most of the time... you wouldn't know one if you saw it. They are trash-dwelling critters. They tend to eat just about anything. Most people call them mimics because they have a habit of mimicking whatever they find in order to pass under the radar. Most are treated sort of as a nuisance, like a rarity, but a nuisance. Think like a very rare pigeon.
Kid, you got yourself there a rare pigeon.
It is a rare pigeon. It's my little baby.
Kid, you got yourself a mimic.
Are they usually this tiny?
I mean, they come in a variety of sizes, but, you know.
They do. Most baby ones are about this size. Some of them never grow past this size. Some of them grow to be about the size of dogs. Some of them, if they get older, there are stories of them developing a more nasty taste. But for the most part, they're not considered terribly, terribly dangerous. Salome, you take the time to help Brinley bury early. There is a little patch outside of town, a large tree, and you both bury early at the foot of this tree. As you sort of shovel dirt back over the body, Brinley carves Early's name into the tree. Early James Porterfield. As you finish this small, small ceremony, do you ready to head into Blackthorn Bog?
Oh, before we leave, I absolutely go take the bear trap from Shorna's room and throw it in the bag of holding.
You gotta have a bear trap.
You help yourself to it, and you have one bear trap. You head towards Blackthorn Bog. It's weird because Blackthorn Bog just starts. There is sort of a field leading up to it, and then a solid wall of trees. And beyond it, you see the land turn into wetlands. The main road into the bog is overgrown. It hasn't been trodden in months, and the bog is slowly starting to take it back. Traveling down the main road feels exposed, open to attack. Unfortunately, there seems no other clear-cut means of traveling through the bog. Except, when you look to your left, down the tree line, are what look to appear to be metal boxes.
Oh, are these those carts Early mentioned before?
You hurry over to it, and you see that they are, in fact, overturned mine carts. There is a set of tracks delving into the bog, and with the mine carts is an overturned railway cart, a hand cart.
Right.
One of those sort of old-timey...
Yeah, one of those little back-and-forth seesaw things.
One of those old-timey square ones with the seesaw where two people, or one person if they're not above the task, can seesaw their way down the tracks.
All right, who needs a break? Because two of us are working.
I think all 5'11 in heels of Salome like looks at Stump and goes, all right, you want to seesaw this with me? Or what are we doing?
Yes, please.
All right, great. And every time Salome pushes down, Stump rises into the air.
And my legs kick.
Friends, there's got to be a better way.
He's got a little kicky little... Hey, Hayden, hold on. You want to... Why don't you just pull on Stump's feet? Hayden, you sit down.
Wait, no.
You pull
what?
On Stump's
is this
feet.
Really?
No.
And I'll just push
you
up and down.
You know what? Stump told me to use my brain, and my brain says this cannot be the most efficient way to do this.
Good.
I
nice
think
job there,
can't be
kid.
Wrong.
Yeah, you all grab the hand cart. You sort of survey it. It doesn't look too rusted. It seems like it could still be in operable condition, and that it might take two people to seesaw it effectively and to move at a considerable speed down the track.
All right, let's jump in.
I guess I should ask who is seesawing and who stands at the ready.
If we're talking about height, I think it makes the most sense for Salome and Hayden to do it.
As much as I'd like to see you grab Stump's little feet and drag him down, I do think we should be a little...
Stump, how do you feel about keeping an eye out and maybe popping off some heads of any monstrous things that come running at us while we're running this thing?
Stump is going to get up to like the middle of the cart, and like that guy on the rowing team is just going to yell... Push.
The
push.
Cart rolls
push.
Its way into the darkness. And for a while, the only sound you hear is the creak and groan and protest of the seesaw against you as you push. Push.
Push.
Stump, for God's sake, we've been doing this for half an hour. You don't need to say it anymore.
I mean, I will keep an eye out also.
Stump, you are, you're sitting on the side of the cart. You've got sort of the seesaw to your back, and you're watching the scenery pass. And for a while, nothing really seems to happen. The cart tracks meander their way through Blackthorn Bog, and you see that the forest almost feels alive, as if wandering into this thicket has alerted it to your presence.
This episode of Mage Hand High Five is sponsored by Multitude Productions and their actual play podcast, Join the Party, as part of their Direct Creator Support Initiative. Multitude Productions believes that podcasts are for people, not corporations, and that the actual play community is full of incredible creators telling some of the most imaginative stories in all of entertainment. Multitude offers high-quality and affordable production services and consulting to help podcast creators of any size capitalize on their own successes. Join the Party is an actual play podcast focused on genre-pushing storytelling and celebrating the artistry of its cast and collaborators, as well as being a love letter to the art form of actual play. Join the Party has multiple seasons available now, with stories ranging from swashbuckling pirate tales in a world of plants and bugs to a weird summer camp beset by monsters. Here's looking at you, Camp Craven fans. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes of Join the Party. And who knows? If we're your third favorite actual play, they might just become your first or second. We hope you'll check out Multitude and Join the Party at jointhepartypod.com or connect with them at Join the Party Pod on Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, be sure to let them know that Mage Hand High Five sent you and that their Direct Creator Support Initiative is working. And with that, on with the show.
Do you love audio fiction stories like Welcome to Night Vale or Old Gods of Appalachia? Are you looking for your next favorite podcast?
Or maybe you love actual play shows like Critical Role, but don't always have time to sit down to a 3-hour show with hundreds upon hundreds of episodes.
Then you'll love The Adventures of Bud and Herb, a podcast that is made to binge with episodes around 30 minutes of non-stop, irreverent, yet wholesome fun set in an immersive fantasy world.
Follow along as best friends Bud and Herb, that's us, race against time to find an elusive, monstrous cryptid that has snatched a little boy from our idyllic little town of Mistress Glen.
I'm Bud, the deep gnome rogue.
And I'm Herb, the turtle folk barbarian chef. Each episode, we dig deeper into the mystery of the Cinderwood Walker.
A beast so terrifying it can kill with only its stench. Find out if we live to smell tomorrow.
Listen to The Adventures of Bud and Herb wherever cryptids hide.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Maia, and this is Maia's Game Room, a narrative actual play anthology featuring short-form, story-driven TTRPGs. Each season tells a new story using a different rules-light system brought to life with sound design, editing, and emotional-rich roleplay. So, if you love cinematic storytelling and character-driven drama, come check out Season 1, set in the haunting world of the Electric State RPG. Just search Maia's Game Room wherever you get your podcasts.
And up ahead, the tracks jut around a corner and continue. They don't seem to follow the main road. As a matter of fact, you seem to have lost the main road a while back. And you are in it now. You take the corner, and there, swiftly coming to greet you, is a spider's web stretched from one side of the tracks to the other. And you have time to stop, or you can pass through it.
Oh, stump. Can we take this thing out, please?
Can I make a nature check real quick? Like how thick, like how big is this? How big is this
spider web? It's a big web. It is taller than the cart.
Is it thick?
You think that with enough speed, you could just go right through it.
Hey, Salome, quick. Can you use your sword to get rid of this? Just kind of hold it forward and get rid of this spider web as we get closer?
Yeah, I can sure as hell try. I'm a little nervous about spiders. Yeah. Okay.
I'll take her place.
Cool. You switch off. Salome, you sort of inch your way around to the front of the cart as it is quickly approaching the spider web. And make an attack throw.
That is a 17.
You deftly cleave the spider web in two as you pass through it. And as you cleave down almost simultaneously, with reflexes not human, hundreds of spiders erupt from the trees around you. Hundreds of tiny, tiny little spiders.
Oh, y'all, we gotta go.
On the heels of these spiders are larger spiders the size of dogs.
No.
Following on the heels of spiders the size of dogs are spiders the size of horses.
Oh, Stump, I don't like that. Can you get it?
Just all of them?
I shoot one.
Yeah, I need somebody to get a newspaper, goddammit.
Oh, God. Stump, you shoot one. I'm going to give this to you. It lurches up on its side, its arms sort of curl, and then it is swarmed by other spiders immediately.
Oh, my God.
Ooh. I shoot another one.
Yeah, it happens again. However, as you kill them, you don't seem to be thinning the herd.
Oh, shit, y'all.
The way this shakes out, there's a bunch of tiny spiders who are not going to be able to do a whole lot. They're really here for flavor.
Okay.
The horde.
Delicious. Nom, nom, nom.
Delicious.
They're here for the vibe. There are going to be about 10 giant wolf spiders and 4 giant spiders.
All right, cool.
So here's how this is going to work. All of you are going to act on the same turn, and all the spiders are going to act in one turn. You each get your full turns, but you can coordinate the timing of your actions as a group. At the top of each turn, two of you will have to make DC 11 strength checks to keep the cart going. If you both succeed, cart moves 50 feet. If only one succeeds, cart moves 30 feet. If you both fail, cart moves 10 feet. If you both fail two turns in a row, the cart stops. You can use your full action to push the cart and give yourself advantage on those strength checks, or you can do it as a bonus action and roll straight.
All right, I get on one side. I don't know who's getting on the other.
Neither of us
Not
are strong.
Me.
Well, somebody get over here.
All right.
In this combat, I will also institute the cleave rule. So if you do more than enough damage to kill a spider, the damage carries over into the next one. And with that, I need one of you to roll initiative.
I love it. Hayden,
go.
Made it. Yeah, Hayden, what's your group initiative?
I mean, I roll with advantage anyway.
You also have like a plus 12, so.
That's a 26.
Yeah,
yeah, there
is.
We go.
Okay.
I'm not sure why I rolled. So let's get started. You are first in the order. The cart, you hear a thump and look down to see a giant wolf spider has landed on the cart.
Oh, no thanks.
Make your strength checks.
All right. Hayden, you and me?
Yep, I'm going to see how this goes without advantage the first time and
okay,
go from there.
That's a 20.
That's an 18.
Yeah, all right.
Two successes. Cart moves 50 feet ahead.
Looking good, everybody.
Yeah, push. We're a stump now.
Push. Push.
Stump, I swear to God, shut the hell up.
Great, the cart moves 50 feet ahead. There is a giant spider on the cart.
I'm going to aim for that one.
Before you do, I'm going to cast Bless on everybody. So all three of us, whenever we make an attack roll or a saving throw before the spell ends, y'all can roll a d4 and add the number rolled to the attack or saving throw.
Great.
Oh, what is this tingle feeling? Is it youth?
Youth?
Yeah, let's call it that. Now get the spider.
All right. First turn for Hayden means four attacks.
Yeah, it does.
So that's 26. Then 19. Then 22 for the third hit, and fourth hit is 19.
There you go.
Yep.
Everything hits?
Yeah.
Ooh, all right.
These spiders are not terribly armored.
24 damage?
Your first three crossbow bolts hit that spider. It screams, goes flying off the cart, and as it does, you see the fourth bolt sail past it and hit another spider behind it in one of its eyes.
Ooh.
Oh, you know I should love this, but it's real gross.
Oh, some of it got on me. Stump, it's all you.
Yeah, Stump's going to take off a vial as usual and is going to just throw it out over all the spiders to cast Tasha's Caustic Brew over just a 30-foot line of spiders.
Yeah, there it is.
Incredible. I'll say that there are two of the giant spiders that fall within your reach. That's a 21 and a 22.
That's it. Okay. That's it. I miss.
How?
You toss it. It takes out a swath of tiny baby spiders.
You get fucked, spiders.
Okay.
But avoids two of the giant wolf spiders.
Ooh. Maybe next time.
Casey, is there one spider or one of the big spiders that looks like the biggest, baddest spider?
Yeah. There's one spider. Looks like a real son of a bitch.
Yeah. Like it. it just looked like you'd slap your mother. You know what I mean?
Like two of its eyes are gouged out. Like it's missing one of its legs, but it is hardier than all the other ones. Like it is a massive giant spider.
All right, great. On this turn, then I'm gonna point at that one and use my Hexblade's Curse on that one.
Cool. Okay. The spiders are going to dash to catch up with the cart. They're able to catch up with you, and one of them jumps onto the cart and gets ready to attack next turn. So that is the spider's turn. Next in the order, back to y'all.
Oh, that was fast.
Make strength checks.
Oh, hell. That's a 4.
That's a failure.
I'll roll with advantage. That's a 16.
All right, hey.
16 succeeds. The cart moves 30 feet.
I'm out of commission for this turn, so it's all y'all.
Salome's like slapping herself and like, oh shit, I feel like I feel them everywhere. I think there's one on my neck.
Just hit them. Hit them all.
Yeah, Salome, instead of her sword, just takes out a big ass thing of newspaper. Let's get it. I think we're going to go for the one on the cart.
Stump gets a 23.
Ooh, nice.
That hits. Roll that damage.
8 damage.
Great.
8 damage. Okay.
That was max damage.
There you go. That is a 15.
That also hits.
Oh, great. Okay, cool. In this fight, consistently across the board, I'm going to attack with Booming Blade whenever I attack. So that is 11 damage, and then it's going to take another 4 damage if it moves.
Okay.
You know what does happen, though? Sneak attack, baby.
Yeah, there you go.
Because we're all within 5 feet of each other.
Woo! That's fair.
That's 5, so it's a total of 13 damage.
Oh, y'all stab the spider twice, and it falls off the cart. As it does and moves out of range of the cart, you see it electrify.
Oh my god.
From Booming Blade, and and it's dead.
I was like, what is happening with this spider?
Great. Next in the order is the spiders. So the spiders are going to move 30 feet to catch up to the cart. They just catch up. They're not, like, surrounding the cart, so one of them hops on. It is going to attack Stump.
What? Why?
Because you're little. That is a 15 to hit.
That doesn't hit because of studded leather armor.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Cool. It sinks its teeth into your studded leather armor, and nothing happens.
I grab Salome's newspaper, just go, hey, stop that.
We need a much bigger newspaper.
Damn it, if it was Sunday, this would be a hell of a lot easier.
You see one of the giant spiders raise its abdomen and, boom, shoot a web. Hayden, this glob of web gets you, and you are restrained. You're not going to be able to push the cart.
Oh, shit.
That's real bad, folks.
So you will have to make a DC 12 strength check in order to break out of it.
Oh, okay. Lord.
On your next turn.
All right, Stump, get on the handle.
I'll do my best.
Next is y'all. Go ahead and make your strength checks for movement.
Fuck me. For someone who's good at strength, that's a 4 again.
Okay.
It's a 7.
Ooh.
The cart slows as the seesaw sticks.
Jesus.
The spiders surround the cart and 2 hop on.
Ooh.
I'm going to use my dagger to cut away at the webs restraining Hayden.
Yeah. The webbing can be attacked and destroyed, which will free up Hayden's turn.
Please just hit the webs.
Hayden, hold real still.
I get a 1, I just kill Hayden.
I have very tender flesh under here.
Oh, yeah, that's going to do it. 24. It's 24.
Yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit on the webbing.
I certainly hope so.
Roll that damage.
Oh, that's another 4, so that's going to be 8 damage.
Woo!
Ooh, yeah, you slice free Hayden from the webbing.
Welcome back, buddy.
Thank you kindly.
How many spiders are nearby at this point?
7 giant wolf spiders and 4 giant spiders.
I'm just going to roll all 3 attacks all at once.
Good plan.
24.
Yeah.
26. And 25.
24, 26, and 25. Yeah.
Thank you for the bless.
Any old time, Narlin.
That's a total of 19 damage.
Okay. You see one of the spiders heal over. Another one is not looking great.
I'm going to cast a 2nd level sleep.
There we go.
So that is going to be 7d8 of HP that I can just put to sleep.
Now, if Casey was really mean as a DM, he would just put all of the teeny tiny little spiders to sleep and give us nothing on the bigger spiders.
But they're just for flavor. Just you already said.
Thousands and thousands of teeny baby spiders fall asleep.
Don't give him any ideas, Robin. It's not too high. It's only 27 HP.
Okay. The one that Hayden just hit passes out.
Great. I kick it off the cart.
You do. You see another spider just fall asleep. And now there are...
only 700,000.
Great. Yeah, that'll do it. It's all right.
There are 4 giant wolf spiders and 4 giant spiders.
Great.
That's your turn. The spiders are going to roll their turn. You moved 10 feet, so the spiders more than catch up.
Okay.
One of the giant spiders climbs on the cart.
Is it the big one?
No.
Okay.
Oh, we made a mini boss now. So okay. he's holding off.
Did you make a mini boss when Salome asked, when Rowan asked about it?
Yeah.
Jesus.
This is why you never ask questions.
Well, yeah. Are you like, if you're like, oh, is one of them a motherfucker? Like, yeah, he is now.
You gave us a big mama to fight.
It's yeah. the mommy.
It's going to attack Salome.
Oh, I've been waiting for this.
That's a 24 to hit.
That'll hit, and I'll take that hit, and I'll give him a hellish rebuke right back.
Great. That is going to be 10 piercing damage.
All right.
And I need you to make a constitution saving throw.
Ooh, shit. Okay. Well, hey, we got a bless on the constitution saves.
You'll also have to roll to maintain concentration.
I do. Thank you.
Mm.
Oh, that's great on the con save. That is a... That's a 24 con save.
Yeah.
Yeah, that saves.
Okay, great. And then for concentration, I do roll with advantage, is also a 22.
You like to see it. That's the best.
Great.
So we still have plus.
Rolling like Hayden.
That fella's got to roll a... Oh, it's dex. Yeah, that's a dex save DC 14.
That saves.
Great. Okay, so it's going to take half of 17, rounded down to 8 damage.
Great. It's a good amount of damage. You see, like, the little hairs on its arms sort of burn up.
Mm-hmm. What a smell.
Yeah, yeah, it's nasty.
It's not great. I don't like it.
One of the other giant spiders is going to shoot a web at Hayden.
Again?
Just to get you.
I'm already so gross.
And it passes right by you.
Whew.
Great. It is your turn, but before that happens, I need to roll something.
While Casey's rolling, Stump goes to do the same thing the spiders do and pulls down his pants and turns his ass towards the spider.
Oh, no. Stump. Now is not the time.
A little webbing comes out his butt as we find out he's like a little spider artificer.
What, you can't do this?
You learn something new about your friends all the time.
As the cart sweeps around a corner, you see the limbs of trees bend down as if the trees themselves are trying to sweep you off the cart. I need you all to make dex saves.
Shit. Well, I'm real glad we did bless on this one. Shit.
Oh, yeah, bless.
Everybody add bless, baby.
Bless the gift that keeps on giving.
That's a 4.
18 for Hayden.
10.
I love Salome's rolls.
Okay. Salome, Stump, and the giant spider are all swept off the cart.
Oh, fuck.
Salome, you are close enough to the giant spider that you both sort of tumble off at the same time. It lands on its feet. You land on top of it.
Oh, God, no thank you.
Make it a mount. Make it a mount.
You clutch on for dear life on the back as it resumes chasing the cart.
Yes.
Ooh, all right. Hey, Stump. You know what? Keep on going.
You flip off.
I always wanted to die, so.
You land on the motherfucker.
Oh, no. Okay.
And it sort of as you land on it.
What do I do in this situation?
Hayden, you get to make your strength check in order to keep the cart going.
I guess I should roll it with advantage.
Hayden, make a perception check.
That's an 8.
With an 8, every once in a while, on the left-hand side of the cart, you see something that looks like a lever on the ground pass. You're not sure what that is.
Ooh, I'm not sure what it is. Oh, I have a guess. Robin has a guess.
With an 8, you sort of look at it and you're like, interesting.
All right. Yeah, I will make my roll with an advantage. That's an 11.
Ooh.
Lord, okay.
Cart moves 30 feet.
All right.
Stump and Salome, you have attacks. However, if you attack, I will need you to make a dex save to stay on your spider.
Can it be a strength check just to hold on?
I'll give you either dex or strength. I'll be nice.
Well, hell, I mean, yeah, we might as well. I'm gonna attack. Wait, is the motherfucker within melee distance from me on the other spider?
Of you, no. I'll say the only spider that's within melee range is the spider that you're on.
Okay, question. Am I behind Stump's spider?
You know what? Yeah, your spider took a tumble, so I'll say that yours is behind because the other spider has been running this whole time. Yours had to take a second.
Great. Okay, tell me if this is too much shenanigans. I'm going to cast Eldritch Blast on Stump's spider.
Okay.
26 and a 22.
Oh, yeah.
So that is a total of 14 damage to the spider. And then I also have Repelling Blast, which means when I hit it, what I want to do is hit the spider and drive it 10 feet away from me, which hopefully would be 10 feet toward the cart, to move it even farther toward the cart so that Stump could jump back on.
Yeah, okay. That's shenanigans, but I love it.
Okay, great. Yeah, I repel Stump and the spider into kind of a straight line, getting Stump a little bit closer to the cart.
I will fudge it a little bit and say that the spider is in the midst of moving 30 feet alongside the cart. And so when you push it 10 feet, it smacks its head on the edge of the cart.
Nice. All right. That's what I wanted.
It's looking unhappy, but it's not bloody.
As a bonus action, Stump is going to grab a vial of Assassin's Blood and dip his dagger into it. And is just going to stab right down into the spider's head.
Okay. Oh, yeah. All right.
That's a 23 to hit.
That is gonna hit. Roll damage.
Make a saving throw first before I tell you how much damage I do. Is it a one? Does it fail?
That's a one. That's a nat one, baby.
Oh, woohoo! Amazing. That's gonna be 7 damage, and the motherfucker is poisoned.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so that's disadvantage on attack rolls
and abilities.
Okay, cool. Stump, your spider slams into the back of the cart.
Oh.
Make a dex save to jump onto the cart. Let's set the DC at 13.
That's a 12.
Any chance I could use my reaction to catch him?
You know what? Yeah.
Stump!
Roll a dex to reach out and grab Stump.
That's 23.
Oh, Stump starts to teeter back onto the spider. You just grab him by the collar and hoist him back onto the cart.
Get back here!
All right, well, y'all have fun. Tell my aunts I said hello.
No!
Will do.
Wait, no!
On the spider's turn, they all do their movement 30 feet to catch up to the cart. Salome, yours comes within cart range.
All right.
And climbs on.
All right.
The spider is going to try and attack Stump.
Why? What did I ever do to it?
You attacked its mommy. A 16 to hit.
Ah, that just hits.
Ugh.
Ooh, baby. That is 5 points of poison damage, and I need you to make a constitution saving throw. 5 points of piercing. 5 points of piercing damage. Make a constitution saving throw.
25.
Yeah, you're fine. Its teeth sink down into your arm, and you repel the poison.
My turn, I bite it with poison.
No! You lace your teeth with poison and bite it. One of the spiders in the back is going to try and web. That's a nat one, so nothing happens. Top of the order of the turn, the cart sort of like dips into sort of a small ravine, and a bunch of bats fly over the cart.
Oh, shit, y'all.
Spooked by the cart, I need you all to make dex saves.
Okay. 18.
14.
19.
The bat cloud passes over you. You don't take any damage. Y'all's turn. Stump and Hayden, you are on the cart.
Yep.
Salome, you're on the spider on the cart. So Stump and Hayden, you can make strength checks to try and get the cart rolling.
Let's see what we can do, kid.
Should I roll this with advantage, or should I keep my action?
I say keep your action. We're already surrounded.
We're already in the shit.
At the 12.
All right.
That's an 8.
Oh.
Great. Cart moves forward 30 feet.
I'm going to roll off of the spider, or try to get from... Okay. Can I just roll off the spider into the cart?
Yeah. You can either take your action to do that successfully, or you can make an attack throw and make a dex to see if you do it.
That's a 21 dex save.
Yeah, you land on the cart.
I'm going to attack the spider on there. It's a 23 to hit. Attack with Booming Blade.
Okay.
11.
Yeah, some gushy, like, black spider blood peels off as you stab it.
All right.
Stump, have you made your attack?
I have not. Can I hold my action for the spiders to catch up so I can hit a bunch of them in a 30-foot line?
Do it.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to do that.
Okay. You have the chance to hit 4.
Okay, yeah, fuck it. So Stump's going to hold his turn to
wait for the spiders to all get a little closer so he can Tasha's caustic brew all over them.
Nice.
Okay.
This is all just real evocative.
You hold your turn.
Is the lever in range?
There is another one coming up.
Looks like Stump's got a plan, so I will hold on that and get out my crossbow.
The lever passes by.
18, 19, and 25 to hit.
Yeah.
That one was a really nice one.
There you go, Hayden.
Roll that damage.
24 damage.
All right.
Okay. Who are you are you focusing this on the mom, or are you focusing this on one of the full health spiders?
I'm going to focus on the one on the cart first. Because if we can have a clear cart, that'd be great.
Oh, it's dead. It's you. That spider falls off the cart. It is dead. You're down to 7 spiders total. 3 of them are giant spiders, including the mommy. 4 of them are just regular giant wolf spiders.
Did any of that excess damage get to the mama?
Yeah, a ton of that went to the mommy.
All right.
The mommy is looking bad.
Yeah!
Next in the order are the spiders. The spiders catch up to the cart.
Deck saves.
Yeah!
From 4 of them. Okay.
Especially the mom. Especially mommy.
Mom fails. Ooh, that one crit fails. What's the DC to beat?
15.
That one saves. And that one fails.
So at the start of their turn, they each take 2d4 of damage.
Okay, cool. You held your turn until they were within range of the cart. So you get to go right now before they attack.
That's going to be 4 acid damage.
Great.
That ain't bad.
Mommy looks bad.
Mommy's been bad.
Jesus Christ.
Mommy.
It started this way and it's also ending this way. God, what a world.
You know what? Two of the giant wolf spiders are going to jump onto the cart.
Ooh, okay.
Since they have caught up, and they're going to make their attack throws. One of them is going to attack you, Salome, and one of them is going to attack you, Hayden.
All right.
Bring it on.
Oh, my God. A 20 to hit Salome and a 22 to hit Hayden.
Ooh, you know what?
That's going
to
do it.
That is going to be 4 points of damage to Salome and 5 points of damage to Hayden. And I need you both to make constitution saving throws.
23 for the con save on that.
Save.
Yeah, for concentration, that still passes.
That's an 11 constitution for Hayden.
Just barely saves.
Ooh, ooh, good.
Okay, good.
All right.
Neither of you are poisoned. On this turn, 2 things happen. The cart is barreling down the tracks. In the middle of the tracks, you see
a tied up woman.
A tied up woman and a man with a curly mustache.
Tiberius Jameson has tied a woman to the train tracks. Tiberius, what the hell are you doing out here?
You see in the middle of the track, like between the two rails, you see this large sort of mole-like creature pop its head up. It looks like this weird combination of mole and shark.
Huh.
That's concerning.
Stump, you still got that newspaper?
It turns and sees the cart barreling towards it. It's going to try and make a dex save to get out of the way. It starts to duck down. You feel a bung as the cart smacks it over the head as it is diving down.
I feel kind of bad. Damn. Yeah, you good?
It should have moved.
You see it dive down. You hear a thung as it hits it. And then in the distance behind the cart, you see it pop out of the spiders, rub its head, and start to run after the cart.
Oh, shit.
Stay alive, everybody. We got more.
All of you are facing the spiders. You see something flit through the trees, pounces out. Hayden, it's Yolanda.
Yolanda?
Well, how the hell did she get here?
You see Yolanda sink her claws into one of the giant spiders. That giant spider roars, starts chasing after Yolanda. And as Yolanda seems to disappear into the trees, she sort of, like, time seems to slow for a second. Hayden, you both make eye contact.
My girl!
And Yolanda gives you a look, and for a moment, it seems as if this displacer beast is saying, now we're even.
Oh.
Can we stay uneven? I want to see you again.
She disappears into the trees, taking one of the giant spiders with her.
Ooh.
recorder Yolanda. Version of My Heart Will Go On plays in the
background. All right, that's enough. We don't have the rights.
Two of you make strength checks.
I'll do it.
I can do it.
Now that I'm back on the cart. Seven.
Jesus.
What happens if I get a nat 20?
Yeah. Is that two successes?
I will say the cart moves 40 feet.
Oh,
it
okay.
is not quite two successes, but it is more than one success and gets you out of range of the spiders on their turn.
I'll That's take one it. And a half. That's all right.
Okay.
All three of you, let's do Hayden, Stump, Salome. Make your attack throws.
Can I do another perception check on these levers?
Yeah.
I'm so determined. It's a 10.
That's something.
There's so much else going on. I just cannot get a good beat on these things.
Another lever passes by and you're like, what is happening?
Okay. 26, 26, 27.
Keeps Great. Coming. Keeps yeah. on coming.
Who is this towards the mama?
Of course it's towards the mama.
Great.
28. That's max damage on two of the three hits.
All right. Wow. There it is.
Describe how it dies.
The mama.
No.
Mommy.
Describe how the mama passes away.
How did this come from a motherfucker who would slap your mom to being a mommy?
Because she's a spider. I don't know.
That's
I feel
just
like spiders
the natural
are always
order
mamas.
Of things.
They're like always pregnant.
Listen, this
Yeah.
She is a motherfucker.
I set one hand on the pocket that holds my little baby mimic. And she's like, don't look, sweetie, don't look. And I fire three shots into three of the spider's eyes.
Damn.
Ooh. Oh, you do? She sort of lets out a final roar, trips over her own legs, and collapses, and then is swarmed by thousands of baby spiders.
Well, they'll be feeding for weeks.
As this happens, I think this is something that hasn't actually happened yet, because that was the target of Salome's Hexblade's curse. As the mama dies, I think you see Salome's eyes like roll back in her head again, like they did when she was kind of trancing out with V. And she like comes back from this trance state looking just like a little bit healthier, having absorbed some of the life force of this mother spider.
Ooh.
Jesus Christ.
Please don't ever do that to me.
Girl, you good?
Oh, I feel great.
Ooh. All right.
Not shot.
God, okay. Stump.
I'm going to go after one of the smaller spiders. It's a 22. Oh, but I get sneak attack because they're on the cart.
There it is.
Great.
That's 13 damage.
One of the spiders immediately just falls off the cart and is dead. The other one takes the remainder of the damage.
Say hello to your mom for me.
God. Incredible. Salome.
Neither of the big boys are on the cart, right?
No, not yet.
Okay, great. So I'm going to Eldritch Blast at one of the big boys that's left.
Okay.
And that is a nat 20, baby.
Yeah!
So one is a nat 20 and one is a 23 to hit, both of which will hit, I believe.
The 23 hits, the nat 20 misses.
Yeah, why not? Okay, that is a 21 damage.
One of the giant spiders just collapses. The Eldritch Blast blasts through it and hits another one.
Yeah, I think Salome, like, absorbs this spider's life force, comes out of this weird trance, pulls Thaddeus' gun, and just, like, right back into the spiders.
Remind me God. To never get on your bad side.
Yeah, well, ask Thaddeus. It ain't a good idea.
It is the spider's turn. You didn't attack the one that's on the cart, because you attacked the two big ones.
Correct.
Okay. So that spider is going to attack you, Stump.
Do any of them still have acid on them?
One of the little spiders is still chugging, and that one's going to take acid damage.
Oh, that's 7 damage.
It is exactly enough to kill it.
Yay! Yay! Go, Stump. All right.
It just disintegrates into just a pool of mush. The one that's on the cart is going to it's going to try and hit with a 16.
Yeah, that hits.
That is 7 points of piercing damage, and make a constitution saving throw.
That's a nat 20.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes!
What is going on with all these nat 20s?
I don't know, we're killing
it,
though.
You can't poison me. Stump dances a little bit.
The remaining giant spider is going to try and shoot a web, and it's going to try and shoot it at Salome. Uh-huh. And it's a It is my fourth critical failure.
Yeah. You started to say it's a crit, and I was like, shit.
I'm mad. However, this giant sort of mole land shark thing, you watch it dive under the ground and then pop back up right next to the cart, having moved its full 40 feet.
Oh, shit. What the hell are you?
It is going to attack you, Stump.
I noticed it.
And it noticed you. That's a 21 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
Hey, Stump, what is your health at?
35.
Okay, remove 27 of that.
Holy shit. I am going to use a reaction to use one of my channel divinities, which is Rebuke the Violent. It will have to make a DC 14 wisdom save.
Or
take all of that damage.
It takes its own damage?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's a
I mean, Stump still will.
Move.
That is a 14 to save?
Shit, that just passes. So it's going to take half. It takes half of 27 damage still, so it takes 13 damage.
Okay.
Oh, God. Not looking good, guys.
All right, we'll bring him back up, Stump.
Yeah, I'd love to not be here anymore.
At the start of your turn, y'all look ahead. The mine tracks have a lever next to it, and this time you all see it. There is a bend in the path. It circles around and turns the cart around to go back the other direction, directly into the horde of spiders.
Well, we definitely don't want that.
So I need anyone who wants to stop this to make an attack throw on the lever to switch it back to the correct course. You can have one person do it. You can have multiple people do it. But whoever does it cannot make the strength check to move the cart.
I mean, I feel like I trust Hayden's rolls.
Yeah.
Great. Hayden, do you want to do it?
We're good. I got a nat 20.
Yeah, you did. Okay.
Oh, my God.
And no stopping us now.
Stop singing licensed songs.
Yeah, you fire the crossbow bolt. It twangs off of the lever, snaps it into place. The cart tracks switch, and you realize what these levers might do.
It's all coming together.
You know, if I knew I could just fire a crossbow at him and not use a lasso, I would have done this earlier.
Great, the cart keeps moving the right direction. Stump and Salome, make strength checks.
Okay, let's do it.
16.
That's a 9.
Okay.
Cool. Cart moves 30 feet.
How many spiders are we looking at now?
You're looking at 3. There's a baby spider on the cart. There's a baby spider following, and a giant spider.
All right. Now that I know what these levers do, can I get a sense of where the next lever is and whether it would get us out of here?
Yes. So the next one is coming up. And you get the sense that it would switch you onto a different track that goes off to the side and then comes back and crosses over the track you're on. So it would do a damage roll against any spiders in its path.
Oh, well, absolutely, we're doing that.
It would take your attack roll, but you can do it and see what happens.
Will it just take one of my attacks, or will it take all of it?
It would take all of it.
Honestly,
just because
it's still worth it.
It's its own action.
28.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
You hit the lever. The cart sort of careens off to the side. You all sort of hold on for a second. It careens off to the side and then comes back into a collision course with the horde of spiders, since they continue traveling in their same direction, and plows right through them. So I'm going to have you roll. Let's have you roll 2d12 on each one.
Okay. That's 21. Oh. 11 and a 10.
It careens off to the side. It flattens one of the baby spiders completely. It is gone.
Oh, there you go.
The mole shark takes 21 damage and is pissed.
Ooh.
I would be too.
How's it looking?
It's looking good.
Okay, cool.
Stump, you're up. There is a spider on the cart. There is a big old spider left. And then there's the giant mole shark.
Pray for me. I'll attack the spider.
Go for it.
Oh, that's 27.
Yeah. Roll damage.
It's 10 damage from my dagger.
It passes away.
Oh my god, R.I.P. Why did you say it that way? God, did it have a family?
Yeah, it had a mom. We killed it earlier.
Let me light, Salome lights a little candle for it.
Can you eulogize it while we're here?
Yeah, Salome pulls out the little note Great. From her thing again, however wide the room
is. For each of the tiny baby spiders we
calls
killed.
Calls out to V to come get its little wisp.
Oh my god. Jesus.
It passes away.
You murder it. It's dead.
Oh, we had to put it down.
Oh my god. It falls off the cart. Great. Salome, there's one giant mole shark. There's one giant spider.
Okay. As a bonus action, I'm going to cast Wrathful Smite. So concentration on Bless does drop because that's a concentration spell. And then I'm going to hold my action to attack when the mole shark gets closer to the cart.
Okay. You move 30 feet. So on the two remaining enemies' turns, the spider moves up 30 feet and starts to climb onto the cart. The mole shark gets within cart range and is going to make a deadly leap onto the cart.
Oh my god.
What does that mean?
I need you all to make strength or dexterity saving throws. Target's choice. DC to beat is 16.
Oh, you know I'm doing dex.
That's a nat 20.
Nat 20?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Nat 20 strength save, baby.
That's a 12 for Hayden.
That's a 22 for Stump.
It charges forward, leaps. Salome, you catch it midair. Give it a good whack. It's impressive, and then it slams into the cart. You all get knocked prone.
Oh.
The spider fails its check and is thrown from the cart. Hayden, you take 9 bludgeoning damage and 11 slashing damage.
Yikes.
Oh, jeez.
Salome and Stump, you take 5 bludgeoning damage and 6 slashing damage.
Yikes.
Stump's down.
Okay. Can I take that action that I was holding?
Yes.
Okay, so as soon as it gets into range, I'm going to attack it with Booming Blade and also with that Wrathful Smite that I had up, which means that if I hit, it has to make a Wisdom save or else be afraid of me. And that is a 25 to hit.
That is a 25 to hit. That hits.
Great. Okay.
So it needs to make a Wisdom saving throw.
DC 14 Wisdom save.
Okay.
So that's 23 damage.
Cool.
And how did it do on its Wisdom save?
The mole shark lands on the cart. In midair, you catch it in its sort of softer belly, giving it a decent amount of damage. It slams into the cart. All three of you fall to the ground. As it lands, it looks at you, Salome, and you see fear enter its eyes.
Yeah, I think as it starts to jump up into the cart, Salome stabs up into its little belly, and then roses come up, wrap around its little body like a harness, and then finish wrapping around its snout like a little muzzle of briars.
Yeah, you, like, it sort of wraps around it, constricting its face. It looks in fear at the roses and at you.
The one thing that is rough is that Bless is now gone, because the okay. Wrathful Smite was concentration. But it has disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls while I am within line of sight. And it willingly cannot move closer to me.
Okay.
So if we can get it off the cart, it can't move closer to me anymore. Which means, like, we can escape if we get it off the cart. We're good.
Okay.
I'll do what I can.
Yeah, you're dead.
Does attacking allow it to make the save again?
As an action, it can make a Wisdom check against the spell.
All right.
Great. It is the large spider's turn. The large spider is going to try and shoot a web at...
It's Stump. Why not?
Yeah, it's Stump. it's going to shoot it at Hayden. And that's going to fail.
Ooh, goody. Woo-hoo.
The mole shark is going to make an attack against you, Salome. It is going to do it with disadvantage. Oh, yeah, that doesn't even come close to hitting.
Great.
Cool. Whiff on your turn.
I just look at Hayden and go, look, it's just a critter. It just lives here. I don't really need to kill it. You want to just shove it off? It can't follow us right now.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Okay. And I think we just take the land shark and just shove it off the cart.
I we'll say with Hayden helping, one of you can roll with advantage against the mole shark's strength check.
Okay.
Yeah, Salome, you got the strength. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
Hey, come here, honey. We're trying not to kill you, goddammit.
I have no idea what it sounds like.
That's 18.
No. 18.
It has disadvantage on ability checks, too. Just so.
Yeah, shove attacks are athletics.
You grapple it and hoist it off of the cart in just a ridiculous amount of strength. It flies off of the cart, hits the spider on the way back, and the cart leaves both of them in the dust.
Sorry, it's not heavy. It's just bulky. Hold on.
You see all of the other spiders sort of disperse. And as you're watching them disperse, the cart hits something. Bah! Careens off the tracks, spilling you all out into an open clearing.
Ooh.
Oof.
You see that the cart hit the end of the line full speed. The hand cart flips. Boom, 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 boom. Rolls away. All of you hit the ground. Stump, make a death saving throw. And don't tell us what it is.
Oh, yeah, I almost announced it.
Great.
I think as soon as I see Stump on the ground, I'm going to go lay on hands.
Okay.
And I'll give him 5.
Okay. You pop back up at 5.
I'll take me out to dinner first.
Stump, shut up. Come on. You good?
You slap me back down.
You all are out of initiative. You dust yourselves off and look. Ahead, you see sort of the path emerging from the bog and winding into, in the middle of this clearing, a small town nestled at the bottom of a hill. The town's windows and doors stand open, and it is silent here.
Salome, is this where your aunts were last seen?
I think so. Everybody be really careful going in. I think we should patch up our wounds really quick before we go into this town. I don't want to go in here unprepared.
Probably a good idea.
My aunts are very powerful people, and they've been stuck in here for months.
I mean, I wouldn't say no to a rest.
Absolutely not.
I think we take a quick rest and then go in.
Yeah, let's do it.
Absolutely. You all rolling your hit die?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Solomon's back up to full.
Same with Hayden.
Stump uses 5 of his hit dice to go to 33.
Stump, come on back over here. Hold on. I'm going to give you the rest of my lay on hands. I'll save 1 HP, just in case. So I'll give you another 9.
Oh, thank you.
Salome, are you ready for this?
No, let's go.
You approach the town, and as you approach, you see a sign falling from one post that says, "Welcome to Blackthorn Hollow." But there's not much of a welcome party. Around the town, doors stand open. You see, in some houses, items lay strewn upon the ground as if its occupants left in a hurry. And the only sounds that reach your ears are the sounds of a shutter or two, which creak in the slow breeze. You walk through town. You find no townsfolk. You find no travelers. You find no beasts.
Do I see my aunt's wagon anywhere?
I won't make you roll a check for that. Because as you approach the back of the town, you near the hill that the town is nestled next to. This side of the hill is sort of a rocky, almost side of a quarry. At the base of this rock wall, you see a wagon. You see that the ropes have been cut, that the steed that pulled the cart is gone. And on the side, it says, "The Briar Sisters."
Salome runs to the wagon.
You run to the wagon. You throw open the doors on the back. There is no one here. Next to the cart, carved into the rocky side of the hill, stands a massive set of stone doors, easily 20 feet wide and as many feet tall. Salome, you pull the drawing Earl sketched from your pocket, one of the images with which Lila responded to your message. This door matches the image of the door on one of your cards, except for two things. On the card, the door stands open, revealing a long, dark passageway into the earth. Here, it is closed, doors shut tightly. And two, covering the door and seemingly holding them in, are hundreds of thorned vines, covering its surface and creating a massive thicket. A thicket of briars. And that is where we'll pick up next time.
Much for listening to episode 20 of Mage Hand High Five,
The Badlands.
Stay tuned after this for a promo from our friends at Tale of the Manticore. Want to show us your support for the show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive. For just $5 a month, you can get in on the down low and hear all kinds of fun behind-the-scenes goodies. Thanks to Jacob Kersner for our orchestrations and Shane Smith for our logo and cover art. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across the social media landscape. We're on TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Discord, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at Magehand High Five. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way. I've got a mitt. Shout out to all of our subscribers on Patreon. There's Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hitman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, A.M. Lovelies, Allison DeVelvis, Das Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forrest Oakey, Liz Spar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Mira the Nerd, Eldest Soul, Julada Pang, Michael Clevenger, Laura, Al, Chloe Utley, and Sammy Richardson. Y'all are just so sweet and lovely, and I'm a big fan. Tell all your friends about the show. Tell all of your foes about the show. Tell the sewer boys about the show using the hashtag MHH5. And hey, how about a high five?
Are you looking for a D&D podcast with a dark side? Something more like Game of Thrones and less like Monty Python? Tale of the Manticore is part dark fantasy audio drama, part solo D&D RPG. There's no plot armor here. The dice make all the important decisions. Join me as I resurrect the excitement, wonder, and emotion of old-school D&D. Made for a mature audience, Tale of the Manticore is both a fiction and a game. It's the story where chaos rolls.